Hallelujah. Isn't God good? It is so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 17 and 18, and Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, ending at verse 11. I just want to preface this by saying how much I appreciate my pastor, my leadership, Calvary Gospel Church, the opportunity to be here tonight. Something that God's been working with me on. I made it my point a while back. It was my goal to know God and to be known of God and to know that I'm pleasing to Him. Say I've never done that before, but it's maybe a newfound urgency to go back and to refresh, to rebuild my relationship. There's a cure to becoming an old grumpy married couple. You date your wife. You work on a relationship. And it's the same cure for being an old grumpy, over-the-hill saint of God. Backslidden saying, maybe I should say that. You work on your relationship. So I'm excited. I haven't taught. This is Wednesday night. Last few times I've spoken, it's been like on a Sunday night, and it's more of a preaching. This is kind of a Wednesday night Bible study, and so I actually prefer teaching to preaching. I feel like I'm better at it, mainly because my brain works very slow, and when I talk fast, my mouth outruns my brain. And then I got to stop and wait for it to catch up. So I prefer teaching. It's a little more comfortable for me, if you will. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, everybody say that. In my name, in my name, they shall cast out devils. What name do you think he's talking about there? The name of Jesus. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, he didn't say they might cast out devils. They'd have a good chance, maybe, of possibly speaking in tongues, kind of, sort of. No, my Bible says that they shall speak with new tongues. So they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and maybe they'll recover. No, it says they shall recover. Sounds to me like there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. That when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, when we act in the name of Jesus Christ, something has got to give. Something needs to move. When we get plugged in to the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Slow down. You're getting too excited. This is boring old Bible study. I'm sorry. Might get a little ramped up. One of my favorite things to talk about right here is Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above what? Every name. So of all the names in the world, all the names that have ever been named, there is one name that surpasses them all. That at the name of Jesus, some knees, every knee is going to bow. Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Hey, you ain't going to get away from this, okay? You can't hide from this. It's coming. Every knee is going to bow. And that every tongue should confess. Okay, I have confession. I'm kind of mischievous sometimes. And there's just some people, I hope I get to be there kind of at the time when just some people have to bow. I kind of like to, you know, can you just see Stalin bowing? Hitler bowing? They're going to bow. And they're going to confess. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to speak to you for just a little while tonight about the power in the name. Can I switch to this one, Sister Vicki? Hallelujah. The power in the name. Do you know anybody that has a good name? That when you think of their name, you think of good thoughts. And they're just some names that when you hear them, you get good thoughts. There are some names. And what backs that up? What makes somebody have a good name? Usually when you say that someone has a good name, it's because that they are a man or a woman of their word. That they are honest. That they are trustworthy. That they are dependable. That you can trust on them. That you can count on them. If they say something, you can believe it. Because they'll back it up. Having a good name is synonymous with having good character. It means you're a man of your word. Or a woman of your word. Let me ask you this. Do you know somebody whose name isn't very good? You know somebody? I've known some people. They get to talking. You know, and they got an answer for, they know about everything. And they just get to talking. No matter what the topic of conversation, I've worked with some people like this, and we would just bring up some conversations just way off in left field just to see how they'd come up and how they know more about it than we do. And there's nobody, someone who's 19, you know, they play the ukulele and the bass, and they sang professionally, and they've played football, and they had offers to go to college for Division I and play football, but, you know, they didn't want to do that because they wanted to go to work instead and make some money, and, you know, no matter where you go, they've got an answer, and they've been there, and they've done that, and they've done it better than you. And you just kind of roll your eyes, and it's kind of like you're doing. It's like, yeah, whatever, buddy. And when they say something, you kind of laugh, don't you? Because their name isn't very good. Because they're not a person of their word. In fact, some people are so bad, they just ruin a name forever. You notice you don't see many Adolfs running around anymore. Ever since the 1930s and 40s, people stopped naming their kids Adolf. Because one sawed-off little German was such a bad egg, he ruined the name. Nobody wants their kids to be anywhere associated with that. It's a bad name. On the other hand, Jesus' name has stood the test of time. And there is tremendous power in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time to back that up. I think most of us understand that tonight. And for those of you who are guests and you're not so sure about the name of Jesus, let me just give you one example, okay? Albeit a bad example. When was the last time you heard somebody curse in Buddha's name? When was the last time you heard somebody curse in Allah's name? Or any other myriad of gods that are out there? No, but you've heard a few people use the name of Jesus in vain, haven't you? Why do you suppose that is? Because even if you're evil, there's still power in the name of Jesus. Like mashing your thumb with a hammer. And I do that a lot because I got bad aim and I got big thumbs. And it's like, oh, bam, 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 bam. That's just kind of dumb, isn't it? Just doesn't sound good. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. Whether you really understand it, whether you embrace it or not, there is power in the name of Jesus. Now, where does the name of Jesus get its power? You ever wonder that? It was just like a magical word, kind of like abracadabra, or hocus pocus, or open sesame, or supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That just sounds atrocious, doesn't it? Little joke. Okay, I'm sorry. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Let me answer that for you. Okay, the answer to that's no. The name of Jesus has power because of the word that backs that up. If you don't believe that, you can ask this guy back in the Bible days. His name was Sceva. Sceva had 7 sons. They were sorcerers. They weren't followers of God. They were evil men. They were male witches, if you were. But these Christians come to town, and they're casting out devils. And they got all this power. So these guys go, you know, I think we can make some money out of this. So they find a guy that was possessed with devils. Don't understand, in Bible days, we don't see a lot of what they call devil activity in America today like they did in Bible days. Okay? Now, if you go to a third world country, Rebecca went to Africa, you saw this kind of thing, devils being cast out all the time, like in the Bible. America's different. And we got devils. In fact, our devils are much harder to deal with. They come by the name of vanity and pride. Okay? We still got devils. They're just a little harder, a little more sneaky, if you will, than other ones. But these guys, Sceva had 7 sons. They were vagabonds, the Bible says. Exorcist. So they got this new name they're going to try out. So they come on this guy who's got some devils. And they're like, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And what the guy say? The guy with the devils looked at him. The devil spoke through him and said, now we know Jesus. And we know Paul. Who are you? And this one guy jumped on these 7 guys, beat the snot out of them, and they ran out of there naked and bleeding. 1 against 7. Okay? Apparently, the name Jesus, if you will, didn't have all that much power. See, there has to be a relationship, but we'll get more into that later. So it's not just about a name. We can't just throw the name of Jesus around flippantly. There's more to it than that. See, how did Jesus get his name? Did Mary and Joseph just go down to Barnes & Noble at the corner and pick up the latest copy of most popular baby names, 0 BC, flip through it and find, oh, Jesus, this looks good. It's got a little ring to it. No. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 43, I am come in my Father's name. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, being so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. See, Jesus came in his Father's name. You getting this? Jesus is the name of the Father. I have my father's middle name, or my middle name is my father's name, Benjamin Bryan. But Jesus came in his Father's name. He inherited his name. Now, I'm not making this stuff up, okay? They getting this up there? Good. I want you to think I'm just making this stuff up. An inheritance. You know what an inheritance is, right? You get that handed down from dad. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Understand that Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory, and he is the express image of his person. You understand that nobody's ever seen God? God has revealed himself. In the Old Testament, God revealed himself in what they called theophanies. He showed up to Abraham looking like a man. He showed up to Joshua as being the captain of the Lord's host. We know it was more than just an angel, because he said, Joshua, you need to take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. He appeared to Moses in a burning bush. God appeared in all different kinds of ways throughout the Old Testament. The theological term, you can write this down, you learned something tonight, is a theophany. Because Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God's invisible. The express image. See, God is invisible, but if you could see God, he would look exactly like Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the express image of his person. See, it's important for us to understand who Jesus really is. I remember growing up just being, a lot of things about the Bible just confused me. I just didn't get it. Didn't make any sense. Didn't matter how I read it, what version of the Bible, what translation I read it, still didn't make any sense. They started coming to a Pentecostal church. Then what happened? God filled me with the Holy Ghost. So I went home and I started reading some stuff, and then all of a sudden, things just started making sense that never made sense before. Like Matthew 28:19, Jesus says to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But yet Acts 2 verse 38 says that we should baptize in Jesus' name. But this Holy Ghost little chump sat down, he read that again, he said, well, it says baptize them in the name. Not the names. It's his name. That's singular. I mean, there's only one. So I started looking back at other scriptures, looking stuff up. Interesting thing. See, some people, I was told growing up, and then they understand, I'm thankful for the foundation that I had. Okay? I'm so thankful for the foundation I had growing up, the importance of going to church, the importance of prayer, the importance of having a relationship with God. I'm thankful for that foundation. But I'm also thankful for that God revealed himself more to me. Does that make sense? So I remember looking this up, and I just said, okay, and I've been told my entire life that, you know, that there's God is three, yet he is one. But then I started looking it up, and okay, we have Jesus as the Son. We kind of understand that. But then he's the Father. Then the Bible also says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived. So doesn't that make the Holy Spirit the Father? The Bible says that there's one Spirit. And we know about the Holy Spirit, but it also says that if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if there's only one Spirit, But it makes sense to me. There's one God. Kind of like I'm one. That's mean he's a lot cooler than I am. But he's one God, has one name. Well, he revealed himself in different names. We'll get more on that in a little bit. But there was only one. He's only one. But he has different ways that he relates to us. He's the Father in creation. We're all here because he created us. He's the Son in salvation. He saved us. See, there was no Son until the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she became pregnant and gave birth to this bouncing baby boy and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger in Bethlehem. And God, the invisible God, robed himself in human flesh to present himself a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Because there was no other way for us to be saved. Because we were lost in our sins. And he's the Holy Spirit in regeneration. When he infills us and he changes us and he works in us and he molds us into his image. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 55. See, Jesus understood this. The Jews understood this. And Jesus was talking to the Jews. And Jesus said, yeah, you have not known him. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep the saying. He's talking about the Father. But he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. And you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What did the Jews do? They picked up rocks to stone him. Why? Because he's got bad grammar? He's a lunatic. He's saying, I'm alive before Abraham was. No, because they understood when he said, before Abraham was, I am was one of the very first names that God gave his people Israel. He said, I am. You want to know who I am? I am. I just am. I am the self-existent one. I don't need anybody to create me. I don't need anybody to get me along. I just am. That's who I am. Kind of sounds cool, doesn't it? He said, I am. So Jesus is talking to the Jews. He's talking about Abraham. And well, you don't know. You're only 50 years old. How do you know Abraham? You lunatic? You nutcase? And Jesus says, now let me tell you what. Before Abraham was, and he could have said before Abraham was, I was. And that would have been accurate. Okay, that would have been inaccurate because he's God. And he was before Abraham was. Well, this is just giving, I'm trying to give you a little bit of a glimpse into the almighty power in the name of Jesus Christ. What he said was, before Abraham was, I am. Do you see that? He said, before Abraham existed a few thousand years ago from now, I am. He said, I'm still there right now. Do you understand the ramifications of what this means for us? First of all, do you understand that God created time as a convenience to us? There was no minutes or months or years or hours until God created an earth and he created a sun and he went, got this whole thing spinning, and the time it takes the earth to go around the sun is 1 year, and every time that ball spins, it's 1 day. Then he made this little moon thing to go around, and every time that moon goes around, it's about a month, somewhere in there. But God set this whole thing up as a convenience. But the Bible says, Isaiah 57, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. God inhabits eternity. See, God lives on a whole different level than we do. We think minutes, we think hours, we think days, we think next week, we think the weekend, can't wait till the weekend. God lives in eternity. He lives on a whole different level. Now, someday we'll get to heaven and we'll understand that, and you're looking at me with blank stares, and I don't really get this either, okay? Because this is kind of above my thinking. I don't understand how God does this. I just know that he does. I know that he does because he wrote it in his word. And God's word is absolutely infallible. That's why Jesus has power. Because John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, Jesus Christ, there's power in the name of Jesus because Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. And God doesn't just go blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're not just talking, some people, the words are just blah, blah, blah. I mean, Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecy in his lifetime. Dozens on the day of his crucifixion. Written 400 years in advance. See, God wrote his plan out. He gave all these, okay, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. You're going to be betrayed by 30 pieces of silver. You're going to be betrayed with a kiss. He's going to be crucified. All this stuff God lined up hundreds of years in advance. That's why there's power in the name of Jesus, because God is the God of his word. And Jesus is the word incarnate. Do you see the implications of this? Great I Am. Right now, you're here tonight, and I'm guessing I'm probably not the only one in this room that can look back over 46 years and just have some regrets. Now, you're all probably perfect. You don't have any regrets. Okay, but for the one or two that might be like me and you've done some things in your past that you're not very proud of, God's back there right now taking care of it. Not only that, but he's also, next year, he's preparing a way for you. 10 years from now, should he tarry, he's preparing a way for you. You look at your situation, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what your job situation. You don't know about your health. You don't know about your relationships. You know what? God, right now, he's down the road. He's working out. He's taking care of it right now. The challenge for us is when you get there, that you show up where your answer is. Sometimes we pray for stuff. We pray and we pray and we pray. I've seen people pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and then they just quit and they just walk away, and their answer pops up, but they're nowhere to be found. Hey, when your ship comes in, don't be at the bus station. That's power. That's why when we pray in Jesus' name, stuff happens. It may not happen in our time frame because God's not living in our time frame. He's got a whole different level he looks at and operates on. But when it comes through, be there. Be faithful. Be found faithful. Make sense? Do you understand how very important names are to God? I mean, throughout the Old Testament, God was known to just change people's names. Abraham. It was Abram. He changed it to Abraham. Father, to Father of the Faithful. Sarai, the princess, changed it to Sarah. God's princess. Jacob. I like to have a name like Jacob. Meant cheater, stealer, conniver, supplanter. He changed Jacob's name to Israel. Talk about the world change, you know, from the cheater. So as a prince, you have power with God and with man. Now, I'd like to have a name like that. That just sounds cool. That's a good name. Sure beats cheater, liar. But God's known to change people's names. In fact, sometimes it's just common sense. Think about this, okay? The greatest evangelist the world has ever known, the Apostle Paul. When he started out, it wasn't Paul, it was Saul. You know what Saul means? The destroyer. You're not getting that, are you? Okay, let me paint a modern-day parable for you, okay? We're having a revival here at Calvary Gospel Church. We got a new evangelist coming in, the destroyer. Yeah, you see, that might cause problems. I mean, would you invite your family and friends to come see a evangelist? Hey, come to church. We got a new evangelist coming. He's awesome. Yeah, he's the destroyer. You come, you'll meet Jesus. Yeah, it just doesn't work. We change it to Paul. But throughout the Old Testament, when God, to understand how vast, how awesome God is, and how finite we think. And so when God wanted to reveal a new aspect of himself to his people, he almost always did it with a name. So people could get a handle on it. So people could understand what he was doing. Because now, God wants us to know him. You realize that? God wants us to know him. He wants to have a relationship. He wants us to understand. That's why he revealed himself. The very first sentence of the Bible, in the beginning, God. The word there is Elohim. It means the mighty creator. This is who I am. I'm the mighty creator. Watch this. Nothing. Boom! Let there be light. Let there be a ball. Let's separate the water from the earth. Hey, let's put an atmosphere in there so things can breathe. Let's make some trees. Let's make some plants. Let's make some fish. Let's make some birds. To be honest with you, this is a little bit off topic, but how people can honestly believe, you know, that this is just an accident, a coincidence, is beyond me. I don't get it. I understand it takes faith to believe in creation. It takes faith to believe in the Bible. But it takes even more faith to believe that this is an accident. What else should I am God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh. I will provide. The Lord will provide. You're sick? Okay. I'm Yahweh Rophi. Now understand, Yahweh is kind of God's name in the Old Testament. Jehovah is God's name in Greek. Get the Hebrew and the Greek. Yahweh and Jehovah are really the same thing. You just got the English transliteration of the Hebrew and Yahweh and the English transliteration of the Greek in Jehovah. But the same thing. But Yahweh, Jehovah are really interchangeable. But Yahweh, Rophi, I'm the Lord who heals. And he said, I am Yahweh Nisi, I'm the Lord, your banner. Or my banner over you is victory. This is who I am. I'm your victory. I'm a banner over you. I'm Yahweh Shalom. I'm the Lord of peace. You need peace? Come to me. He said, I am Yahweh Tebowoth. I'm the Lord of hosts. Of heavenly hosts. I'm the Lord of of, and this is the Lord of hosts is used really two different ways, the word there. It can mean the heavenly host, like the atmosphere and the planets and the clouds, but can also mean angelic beings. So I'm Yahweh Tsuri. The Lord is my rock. Can I understand? I'm not getting these, you scholars. I don't claim to be a scholar. I'm just a lowly student, okay? So I'm not getting these Greek and Hebrew pronunciations right. Just forgive me, and you can see me later, and you can correct me and give me a class on how to pronounce some of these correctly. But I'm doing my best. I'm just a simple tenor. I'm Yahweh Tsuri. The Lord is my rock. I already said that. I'm Yahweh Roi. The Lord is my shepherd. Yet, of all these names, and there's more, but of all these names, God would reveal himself to his people. There's people that find themselves in an area of pinch and said, okay, I'm your healer. Oh, you don't have enough? You got a situation you can't get through? I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm Yahweh Jireh. I'll provide for you. I'm your provider. Yet there is a name that is greater than all these names. There's a name that's not just greater than Ben. It's not just greater than Peter. It's not just greater than Stephanie. Although Stephanie is Hebrew for perfect. If you didn't know that, look that up. But of all the names of God, okay, that God ever gave his people, there's one name that surpasses all of them. And that was Yeshua. Jehovah is my salvation. God is my salvation. Or as we call him, Jesus. The name above every name. Why is it the name above every name? Why is there so much power in the name of Jesus? Because Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 says, for in him, that is in Christ, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of God. Not just a third of the piece of the pie, okay? The whole enchilada, baby. Everything. That's just a little shout out to my Spanish brothers and sisters there. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ. Everything that God was, every aspect of his personality, all the power that God had dwelt physically, bodily in Jesus Christ. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Of some principality and power, you got a little bit of power. He can handle most things. No. Let me say this, because you didn't get that the first time. Let me try this again. Let me preach it this time. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. That just feels better like that. You know what? That's why there's so much power when we pray in Jesus' name. That's why when we call on his name, we need to call on his name with faith. Because this isn't just like our last ditch effort. This isn't just, okay, I've tried everything else, we'll try Jesus. No, there's power in the name of Jesus. Why? Because everything God has is wrapped up in that name. And why? Very simply, God has provided for me very wonderfully, okay? God's given me a good job, given me a nice house to live in, drive a nice car. My wife kind of drives a piece of junk, but we're going to work on that sometime. But God has provided for me. He's been my Jehovah Jireh. But if God has provided for me, but if he hasn't saved my soul, it's all kind of empty and hollow, isn't it? Have you been there? You had some stuff. It doesn't satisfy, does it? was Jehovah Rophi, my healer. But if I'm not saved, let's do a little test here, okay? September 11th, 2010, about somewhere around 12:30-ish, anybody get a one call from the church telling you to pray for some idiot who was playing football and fell over dead? And this isn't like a trick, but anybody pray? And I just committed to shout out how you prayed. I mean, did you preface that prayer any particular way? Anybody say pray in Jesus' name? Did you? Okay. Thank you, because it worked. I never got that one call, because I was dead. But even if he had raised me from the dead, okay, and you don't get much more Jehovah Rophi than that, okay, 25 minutes without a heartbeat. I woke up, started talking. I think I scared the paramedics out of their skin. They jumped. I started trying to sit up, and they just kind of went berserk on me. Oh, lay back down. Calm down. They started asking me all these questions, where I'm at and stuff, and I'm not going to go through all that. Actually, if you're interested in the testimony, you go to Calvary Gospel Church webpage. It's got my goofy-looking picture right there on the front. You can play the video. I share it. I don't see Sister Kim Stace here tonight. I preached a good job she did, but she could have came up with a better start. I mean, go to the church website, and there's me. You notice that? Okay, find a better start place where I'm like, there's probably no good-looking picture, but do I have to be like I'm catching flies? But God's our healer. But God raised me from the dead. What if he doesn't save me? He raised me from the dead just to spend eternity burning in hell. It's really not worth it. I'm sorry. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Now, there's many different levels to peace. We live in a country where we enjoy peace. I mean, we haven't fought a war in our homeland. We don't know what it's like to go to bed at night and be scared. At least not like a lot of people all over the world. I mean, we could have been born in Syria or Libya or Iraq or Afghanistan or some crazy place, okay? But we live in the land of peace. But yeah, but if we're not saved, do you understand why the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua, the name of Jehovah's become my salvation is so important? It's the name that is above every name. But not only that, you'd be hard-pressed to go through the Gospels and find a page where Jesus wasn't healing somebody or raising somebody from the dead, because he is Jehovah Rophi. No miracles ever in the Bible like the days when Jesus walked the earth. How about Jehovah Shalom? Man, he's just not just peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the boss of peace. He owns peace. Jehovah Lord of Hosts. I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Jews came to arrest, the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. You know, Peter pulls out a sword and lops off Malchus' ear. Jesus picks it up, puts it back on. Healer. And he turns to Peter and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Don't you understand that if I were to speak the word, legions of angels would be here?" He's the Lord of hosts. Not only that, you find it interesting that whenever Jesus came up to somebody with any kind of an unclean spirit. See, we get this Hollywood mentality of unclean spirits. You know, we say demons, but demon is just Hollywood. That's not a Bible word. We just sensationalizes it. With the unclean, the Hollywood version is they're kind of talking smack and they're tough. Jesus walk on the scene and they're, please don't send us into the abyss. Please, we know who you are. Have you come to torture us before it's time? Because they know what's coming. There's no smack talking. They knew. There's no posturing. There's no acting tough. They cowered in his presence. Because he is the Lord of hosts. All hosts. In heaven, in earth, and under the earth. God, I love this one. The Lord is my rock. Sweetheart, he ain't just a rock. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the head. He's the rock that all the other rocks line up on. He's Jehovah Rohi. He's not only the shepherd, he is the good shepherd. That's why there is such power in the name of Jesus. That's why when we pray in the name of Jesus, things happen. But it's important to understand who Jesus is. John chapter 14. And I understand, I mean, the disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years. And yet they didn't always understand who he was. And I can understand here Jesus' frustration. I can kind of see it just kind of leap off the page of me. Philip says, hey, they're talking about the Father, and Jesus says, well, just show me the Father, and it'll suffice me. He says, show me the Father. Show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, and I just see Jesus' frustration here. If I've been so long time with you, been all this time, and you don't know me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. Because he's the express image of the invisible God. Remember that part? And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. That's why it's good to spend a little time in the Old Testament. To brush up on that old stuff, because that's the same God. Jesus took all that and he fulfilled it. He didn't wash it away. He didn't get rid of it. He fulfilled it. He made it complete. He goes on to say, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But you understand, it's not just some magical phrase like hocus pocus. The power in the name as it relates to us. See, there's power in Jesus' name because he was the Son. And we receive that power in our own lives when we become the sons and the daughters of God. How do we do that? Very simply, when we repent of our sins. We turn away. We're crucified with Christ. And we come to God and we've got mistakes and we turn away from it. And when we are buried with Christ by baptism into his death. Romans chapter 6. And when we receive and we are filled with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We get that when we receive a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means when God fills us with the Holy Ghost, we've been adopted into His family. We're His kids now. And when you're His kids, well, there's certain rights. There's also there's certain privileges. There's also certain responsibilities. Will you stand? See, there's power in the name. But let us never become flippant. Let us become passionate about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us become passionate about knowing Him. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I love You. And I thank You for the power of Your name. I thank You, Lord, for the revelation of who You are. And Lord, for working in our lives, in our midst, oh God. The mighty God in Christ. How's your relationship tonight? I pray that nobody's living under a Skeva complex where you know the name, you've got just enough information to be dangerous. But you don't have to. Because the Father's here tonight. And His house isn't full yet. There's still plenty of room for adoption. To be grafted in to His vine. To become part of the family of God. So I'm going to ask you tonight. First of all, if you're fighting it on your own, and you're tired of living on your own, and you're tired of struggling, tired of wallowing, we have room here at the front. My left, your right. God will meet you here with open arms and to welcome you in to His family. And if you're here tonight and you need a healing, He is Jehovah Rophi, our healer. But sometimes we limit healing to physical needs. I'm going to open that up tonight. Jesus came to preach deliverance to the brokenhearted and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Sometimes the physical wounds hurt. But oftentimes it's the unseen wounds that hurt much deeper and hold us back and bind us. But Jesus, that's why Jesus came. That's the power of the name to set at liberty them that are bruised. If you're fighting with depression tonight, and listen, I know what it's like to face down depression. In fact, I'll take it a step further. I know what it's like to be in the verge of repainting your ceiling with your brain man. Where you're just so fed up and so hopeless. Just want to. I know what that's like. I'm going to tell you tonight, we have a healer. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ.
The only name.
You can't fully understand it unless you experience it, unless you walk in it. It's one thing to hear a message, to hear some words. It's another thing to experience it. So I ask you tonight to come. Let's experience the power of God. in the name of Jesus. Let him minister to you. Let him bless you. You're fighting with addictions. And this, there's all kinds of addictions. You know, if you're bombed, I don't even need to name them all. You just need help. Let's come down and pray. The altar is open. There's a mighty God. Wine to meet you. Wine to accept you. Wine to love you.